mornings. We will have one 15-minute intermission in the middle. So please try to remain seated until then. This is a beautiful antique wooden floor, but it's also very squeaky. So if you will please keep your seat till intermission, you will have plenty of time to exercise. And also, a quick content warning, if you are unfamiliar with Titus Andromeda, it is one of Shakespeare's bloodiest plays. There is a high body count, lots of graphically described violence, and lots of sexual violence as well. So just a heads up in case you're sensitive to these issues. And also, please, during intermission and after the show, steer clear of the stage area, just for safety's sake. There will also be a question and answer session after the show, so we invite you to stick around and talk to us and let us know what you want. And if you have questions, we are super happy to answer them because we love the show and we just want to talk about it. And I think that is everything that I have. So without further ado, Titus Andromeda. Marcus Andronicus and senators aloft, and then enter below Saturninus and his followers at one door, and Bassianus and his followers at another door, with Romans, drums, and trumpets.
Noble patricians, patrons of my right, defend the justice of my cause with arms, and countrymen, my loving followers, plead my successive title with your swords. I am his firstborn son that was the last that wore the imperial diadem of Rome. Then let my father's honors live in me, nor wrong mine age with this indignity.
Romans, friends, followers, favorers of my right, if ever Bassianus, Caesar's son, were gracious in the eyes of royal Rome, keep then this passage to the capital and suffer not dishonor to approach the imperial seat. To virtues consecrate, to justice, continence, nobility, and let the desert in pure election shine, and Romans fight for freedom in your choice.
Princes, that strive by factions and by friends, ambitiously for rule and empery, know that the people of Rome, for whom we stand a special party, have, by common voice, in election for the Roman empery, chosen Andromeda, surnamed Pius, for many good and great deserts to Rome. A nobler woman, a braver warrior, lives not this day within the city walls. She, by the Senate, is retired home from weary wars against barbarous Goths, that with her sons, a terror to our foes, have yoked the nation strong, trained up to arms. 10 years are spent since first she undertook this cause of Rome, and chastised with arms our enemy's pride. 5 times she hath returned, leaving to Rome, bearing her valiant sons in coffins from the field. And now, at last, laden with honor's spoils, returns the good Andromeda to Rome, renowned Titia flourishing in arms. Let us entreat, by honor of her name, that she withdraw you and abate your strength, dismiss your followers, and, as suitors should, plead your deserts in peace and humbleness.
How fair the tribune speaks to calm my thoughts.
Marcus Andronicus, I do affy in thy uprightness and integrity. And so I love and honor thee and thine, thy noble sister Titia and her sons, and her to whom my thoughts are humbled all. Gracious Lavinia, Rome's rich ornament, that I here dismiss my loving friends, and to my fortunes and the people's favor commit my cause in the balance to be weighed.
Bassianus' soldiers exit.
Friends that have been thus forward in my right, I thank you all and here dismiss you all. And to the love and favor of my country, commit myself, my person, and the cause.
Saturninus' soldiers exit.
Rome, be as just and gracious unto me as I am confident and kind to thee. Open the gates and let me in.
Tribunes and me, a poor competitor.
They exit to go up into the Senate House. The tribunes and senators exit from the upper stage, sound drums and trumpets, and then enter two of Titus' sons, Lucius and Mucius, and then two men bearing a coffin covered with black, then two other sons, Marcius and Quintius, then Titia Andromeda, and then Tamaric, the queen of Goths, and her sons, Alarmus, Chiron, and Demetrius, and others as many as can be, then set down the coffin, and Titia speaks.
Hail, parting weeds. Lo, is the bark that hath discharged his fraught returns with precious lading to the bay from whence at first she weighed her anchorage. Come in Andronica, bound with laurel boughs to resalute her country with her tears, tears of true joy for her return to Rome. Romans, of 25 valiant sons, half of the number that King Priam had, behold, the poor remains alive and dead. These that survive, let Rome reward with love. These that I bring unto their lastest home, with burial amongst their ancestors. Here, gods have given me leave to sheathe my sword. Tysha, unkind and careless of thine own, why sufferest thou thy sons unburied yet to hover on the dreadful shore of Styx? Make way to lay them by their brethren.
They open the tomb.
There, breathe in silence as the dead are wont, and sleep in peace, slain in your country's wars. O sacred receptacle of my joys, sweet cell of virtue and nobility, how many sons hast thou of mine in store that thou wilt never render to me more?
Give us the proudest prisoner of the Goths, that we may hew his limbs, and on a pile of brothers' hands sacrifice his flesh before this earthly prison of their bones, that so the shadows be not unappeased, nor we disturbed with prodigies on earth.
I give him you, the noblest that survives, the eldest son of this distressed queen.
Stay, Roman brethren! Gracious conqueror, victorious Tysha, rue the tears I shed, a mother's tears in passion for her son. And if thy son's wrath were dear to thee, oh, think my son to be as dear to me. Suffice it not that we are brought to Rome to beautify thy triumphs and return captive to thee into thy Roman yoke, but must my sons be slaughtered in the streets for valiant doings in their country's cause? Oh, to fight for queen and commonweal, for piety of thine it is in these.
She kneels.
Andronica, stain not thy tomb with blood. Wilt thou draw near the nature of the gods? Draw near them then in being merciful. Sweet mercy is nobility's true badge. Thrice noble Tysha, spare my firstborn son.
Patient yourself, madam, and pardon me. These are the brethren whom your Goths beheld alive and dead. And for their brethren slain, religiously they ask a sacrifice. To this your son is marked, and die he must, to appease their brooding shadows that are gone.
Away with him, and make a fire straight, and with our swords upon a pile of wood, let's hew his limbs till they be clean consumed.
Exit Tysha's sons with Alarbus.
Cruel irreligious piety! Alarbus goes to rest, and we survive to tremble under Tysha's threatening look. Then, my son, stand resolved, but hope with all the selfsame gods that arms the queen of Troy with opportunity of sharp revenge upon the Thracian tyrant in his tent may favor Tamora, the queen of Goths. When Goths were Goths and Tamora was queen, to quit the bloody wrongs upon her foes.
Enter the sons of Andronica again with bloody swords.
See, Lady Mother, how we have performed our Roman rites. Alaris's limbs are lopped, and entrails feed the sacrificing fire, whose smoke like incense doth perfume the sky. Remaineth not but to inter our brethren, and with loud laurels welcome them to Rome.
Let it be so, and let Andronica make this her latest farewell to their souls.
Sound trumpets, and lay the coffin in the tomb.
In peace and honor rest you here, my sons. Rome's readiest champions, repose you here and rest, secure from worldly chances and mishaps. Here lurks no treason. Here no envy swells. Here grow no damned drugs. Here are no storms. No noise but silence and eternal sleep. In peace and honor rest you here, my sons.
Enter Lavinia.
In peace and honor live Lady Tysha long. My noble lady mother, live in fame.
She kneels.
Lo, at this tomb, my tributary tears I render for my brethren's obsequies. And at thy feet I kneel with tears of joy shed on this earth for thy return to Rome. O, bless me here with thy victorious hand, whose fortunes Rome's best citizens applaud.
Kind Rome, that hast thus lovingly reserved the cordial of mine age to glad my heart, Lavinia, live! Outlive thy mother's days, and fame's eternal date for virtue's praise.
Lavinia rises. Enter Marcus Andronicus carrying the white robe. Enter aloft Saturninus, Bassianus, tribune, senators, and guards.
Long live Lady Titia, my beloved sister, gracious triumpher in the eyes of Rome.
Thanks, gentle tribune, noble brother Marcus.
Titia Andronica, the people of Rome, whose friend and justice thou hast ever been, send thee by me their tribute and their trust, this pallium of white and spotless hue, and name thee in election for the empire, with these our late deceased emperor's sons. Be Candidatus then, and put it on, and help to set a head of endless Rome.
A better head her glorious body fits than this that shakes for age and feebleness. What? Should I don this robe and trouble you? Wrong. I have been thy soldier 40 years. Give me a staff of honor for my age, but not a scepter to control the world. Upright he held it, lords that held it last.
Romans, do me right. Patricians, draw your swords and sheathe them not till Saturninus be Rome's emperor. Andronica, would thou were shipped to hell rather than rob me of the people's hearts.
Proud Saturnine, interpreter of the good that noble-minded Titia means to thee.
Content thee, prince. I will restore thee the people's hearts and wean them from thyself.
Andronica, I do not flatter thee, but honor thee, and will do till I die. My faction, if thou strengthen with thy friends, I will most thankful be, and thanks to men of noble minds is honorable meed.
People of Rome, and people's tribunes here, I ask your voices and your suffrages. Will you bestow on them friendly on Andronica?
But the people will accept whom she admits.
Tribunes, I thank you, and this suit I make, that you create our emperor's eldest son, Lord Saturnine, whose virtues will, I hope, reflect on Rome as Titans raise on earth and ripen justice in this common weal. Then, if you will elect by my advice, crown him and say, long live our emperor.
Long live our emperor Saturnine.
A long flourish till Saturninus, Bassianus, and guards come down.
Titia Andronica, for thy favors done to us in our election this day, I give thee thanks in part of thy deserts, and will with deeds requite thy gentleness. And for an onset, Titia, to advance thy name and honorable family, Lavinia will I make my empress, Rome's royal mistress, mistress of my heart, and in the sacred pantheon her espouse. Tell me, Andronica, does this motion please thee?
It doth, my worthy lord, and in this match I hold me highly honored of your grace. And here in sight of Rome to Saturnine, king and commander of our common weal, the wide world's emperor, do I consecrate my sword, my chariot, and my prisoner's presence, well worthy Rome's imperious lord. Receive them then, the tribute that I owe, mine honors and signed, humble at thy feet.
Thanks, noble Titia, mother of my life. How proud I am of thee and of thy gifts, Rome shall record. And when I do forget the least of these unspeakable deserts, Romans, forget your fealty to me.
Now, madam, are you prisoner to an emperor, to him that for your honor and your state will use you nobly and your followers?
A goodly lady, trust me, of the hue that I would choose were I to choose anew. Clear up, fair queen, that cloudy countenance. Though chance of war hath wrought this change of cheer, thou comest not to be made a scorn in Rome. Princely shall be thy usage in every way. Rest on my word, and let not discontent daunt all your hopes. Madam, he comforts you can make you greater than the queen of Goths. Lavinia, are you not displeased with this?
Not I, my lord, sith true nobility warrants these words in princely courtesy.
Thanks, sweet Lavinia. Romans, let us go. Ransomless here, we set our prisoners free. Proclaim our honors, lords, with trump and drum.
Saturninus and his guards exit with drums and trumpets. Tribunes and senators exit aloft.
Lady Titia, by your leave, this maid is mine.
How, sir? Are you in earnest, then, my lord?
I know, Titia, and resolve withal to do myself this reason and this right.
Bassianus takes Lavinia by the arm.
Sum quique is our Roman justice, this prince in justice, Caesar, but his own.
And that he will and shall, if Lucius live.
Traitors, avaunt! guard.
Enter Saturninus and his guards.
Treason, my lord! Lavinia's surprised!
Surprised? By whom?
By the unjustly maid, bear his betrothed from all the world. Brothers, help convey her hence away, and with my sword I'll keep this door safe.
Bassianus, Lavinia, Marcus, Lucius, Quintus, and Marcus exit.
Follow, my lord. I'll soon bring her back.
Saturninus, Tamara, Demetrius, and Chiron, and guards exit.
My lady, you pass not here.
What? Villain boy? Bars me my way in Rome?
She stabs Mucius.
Help, Lucius. Help!
Mucius dies. Enter Lucius.
My lady, you are unjust, and more than so, in wrongful quarrel you have slain your son.
Nor thou, nor he, are any son of mine. My sons would never so dishonor me. Traitor, restore Lavinia to the emperor.
Enter aloft the emperor Saturninus with Tamara and her two sons.
Then, if you will, but not to be his wife, that is another's lawful promised love.
He exits.
No, Tycia, no. The emperor needs her not, nor her, nor thee, nor any of thy stock. I'll trust by leisure him that mocks me once. Thee never, nor thy traitorous haughty sons, confederates, all thus to dishonor me. Was none in Rome to make a stale but Saturnine? Full well, Andronica, agree these deeds with that proud brag of thine that saidst I begged the empire at thy hands.
Oh, monstrous! What reproachful words are these?
But go thy ways. Go give that changing peace to him that flourished for her with his sword.
These words are razors to my wounded heart.
And therefore, lovely Tamara, queen of gods, that like the stately Phoebe amongst her nymphs dost overshine the gallantest dames of Rome, if thou be pleased with this my sudden choice, behold, I choose thee, Tamara, for my bride, and will create thee empress of Rome. Speak, queen of gods. Dost thou applaud my choice?
And here in sight of heaven to Rome I swear, if Saturnine advance the queen of Goths, she will a handmaid be to his desires, a loving nurse, a mother to his youth.
All but Tycia exit.
I am not bid to wait upon this bride. Tycia, when wert thou wont to walk alone, dishonored thus and challenged of wrongs?
Enter Marcus and Tycia's sons, Lucius, Marcius, and Quintus.
Oh, Tycia, see! Oh, see what thou hast done! The bad quarrel slain a virtuous son.
No, foolish tribune. No, no son of mine, nor thou, nor these confederates in the deed that hath dishonored all our family. Unworthy brother and unworthy sons.
But let us give him burial as it becomes. Give Mucius burial with our brethren.
Traitors, away! He rests not in this tomb. Here, none but soldiers and Rome's servitors repose in fame. None basely slain in brawls. Bury him where you can. He comes not here.
My lady, this is impiety in you. My nephew Mucius' deeds do plead for him. He must be buried with his brethren.
And shall, or him we will accompany.
And shall? What villain was it spake that word?
He that would vouch it in any place but here.
What? Would you bury him in my despite?
No, noble Tycia, but entreat of thee to pardon Mucius and to bury him.
Marcus, even thou hast struck upon my crest, and with these boys my honor thou hast wounded. My foes I do repute you every one, so trouble me no more, but get you gone.
She is not with herself. Let us withdraw.
Not I, till Lucius' bones be buried.
The brother Marcus and the sons Lucius, Marcius, and Quintus kneel.
Sister, from that name doth nature plead.
Mother, and in that name doth nature speak.
Speak thou no more, if all the rest will speed.
Renowned Tycia, more than half my soul.
Dear mother, soul and substance of us all.
Suffer thy brother Marcus to inter his noble nephew here in virtue's nest, to die in honor and Lavinia's cause. Let not young Mucius, that was thy joy, be barred his entrance here.
Rise, Marcus, rise, rise. The dismalest day is this that e'er I saw, to be dishonored by my sons in Rome. Well, bury him, and bury me the next.
They put Mucius in the tomb.
There lie thy bones, sweet Mucius, with thy friends, till we with trophies do adorn thy tomb.
They all except Tycia kneel and say,
no man shed tears for noble Mucius. He lives in fame that died in virtue's cause.
All but Marcus and Tycia exit.
My lady, to step out of these dreary dumps, How comes it the subtle queen of Goths is of a suddenness met in Rome?
I know not, Marcus, but I know it is, whether by device know the heavens can tell.
Enter the emperor Saturninus, Tamora, and her two sons, at one door. Enter at the other door Bassianus and Lavinia, with Lucius, Martius, and Quintus, and others.
So, Bassianus, you have played your prize. God give you joy, sir, of your gallant bride.
And you of yours, my lord. I say no more, nor wish no less, and so I take my leave.
Traitor! If Rome have law or we have power, thou and thy faction shall repent this rape.
Rape, call you it, my lord, to seize my own, my true betrothed love, and now my wife? My lord, what have I done as best I may? Answer, I must and shall do with my life. Only thus much I give your grace to know. By all the duties that I owe to Rome, this gentlewoman, Lady Titia here, is in opinion and in honor wrong. And in the rescue of Lavinia with her own hand and slay her youngest son in zeal to you, and highly moved to wrath to be controlled and she frankly gave. Receive her then to favor, Saturnine, that hath expressed herself in all her deeds, a mother and a friend to thee and Rome.
Prince Bassianus, leave to plead my deeds. 'Tis thou and those that have dishonored me. Rome and the righteous heavens will be my judge. How I have loved and honored Saturnine.
She kneels.
My worthy lord, if ever Tamora were gracious in those princely eyes of thine, then hear me speak indifferently for all, and at my suit's speed, pardon what is past.
What, madam? Be dishonored openly and basely put it up without revenge?
Not so, my lord. The gods of Rome forfend I should be offered to dishonor you. But on mine honor dare I undertake for good Lady Titia's innocence and all, whose fury not dissembled speaks her griefs. Then at my suit look graciously on her. Lose not so noble a friend on vain suppose, nor with sour looks afflict her gentle heart. My lord, be ruled by me, be won at last. Dissemble all your griefs and discontents. You are but newly planted in your throne. Less than the people and patricians too, upon a just survey take Titia's part, and so supplant you for ingratitude, which Rome reputes to be a heinous sin. Yield at entreats, and then let me alone. I'll find a day to massacre them all and raise their faction and their family. The cruel mother and her traitorous sons, to whom I sued for my dear son's life, and make them know what 'tis to let a queen kneel in the streets and beg for grace in vain. Come, come, sweet emperor, come, Andronica. Take up this good woman and cheer the heart that dies in tempest of thy angry frown.
Rise, Titia, rise. My empress hath prevailed.
I thank the emperor and her, my lord.
Titia, I am incorporated in Rome, a Roman now adopted happily, and must advise the emperor for his good. This day all quarrels die, Andronica, and let it be mine honor, good my lord, that I have reconciled your friends and you. For you, Prince Bassianus, I have passed my word and promised to the emperor that you will be more mild and tractable. And fear not, lords, and you, Lavinia, by my advice, all humbled on your knees, you shall ask pardon of his majesty.
Marcus, Lavinia, Lucius, Martius, and Quintus kneel.
We do, and vow to heaven and to his highness that what we did was mildly as we might, tendering our sister's honor and our own.
Away and talk not, trouble us no more.
Nay, nay, sweet emperor, we must all be friends. The tribune and his nephews kneel for grace. I will not be denied. Sweetheart, look back.
Marcus, for thy sake and thy sister's here, and at my lovely Tamara's entreats, I do remit these young men's heinous faults. Stand up.
They rise.
Lavinia, though you left me like a churl, I found a friend. And sure as death, I swore I would not part a bachelor from the priest. Come, if the emperor's court can feast two brides, you are my guest, Lavinia, and your friends. This day shall be a love day, Tamora.
Tomorrow. And it please your majesty to have the panther in the heart.
join Tasha, and grow mercy too.
Sound trumpets, all exit. Act 2, Scene 1. Enter Chiron and Demetrius, braided, followed by Tamora.
Hello, what storm is this?
Chiron, thy years one wit, thy wits one edge, and manners to intrude rhyme, graced and may, for aught thou knowest, affected be.
Demetrius, thou dost overween it all, and so in this, to bear me down with braves. 'Tis not the difference of a year or two makes me less gracious or thee more fortunate. I am as able and as fit as thou to serve and to deserve my mistress' grace, and that my sword upon thee shall prove and plead my passions for Lavinia's love.
These lovers will not keep the peace.
Why, boy, although our mother unadvised gave you a dancing rapier by your side, are you so desperate grown to threat your friends? Go to! Have your laugh brewed within your sheath till you know better how to handle it.
Meanwhile, sir, with the little skill I have, full well shalt thou perceive how much I dare.
Aye, boy, grow you so brave?
They draw.
Why, how now, sons? So near the Emperor's palace, dare you draw and maintain such a quarrel openly? For shame, put up.
Not I, till I have sheathed my rapier in his bosom, and will all thrust those reproachful speeches down his throat that he hath breathed in my dishonor here.
For that I am prepared and full resolved, foul-spoken coward that thunderest with thy tongue, and with thy weapon, nothing dares perform.
Away, I say! Now by the gods that warlike Goths adore, this petty gravel will undo us all. Why, sons, and think you not how dangerous it is to jet upon a prince's right? What, is Lavinia then become so loose, or Bassianus so degenerate, that for her love such quarrels may be broached without controlment, justice, or revenge? Young lords, beware! And should the emperor know this discord's ground, the music would not please.
I care not, I. Do he and all the world. I love Lavinia more than all the world.
Youngling, learn thou that make some meaner choice. Lavinia is thine elder brother's hope.
Why, are you mad? Or know you not in Rome how furious and impatient they be, and cannot brook competitors in love? I tell you, sons, you do but plot your deaths by this device.
Oh, mother, a thousand deaths would I propose to achieve her whom I love.
To achieve her how?
Why makes you thou this strange? She is a woman, therefore may be wooed. She is a woman, therefore may be won. She is Lavinia, therefore must be loved. Thou, Bassianus, be the emperor's brother, better than he, have won Vulcan's badge.
Aye, and as good as Saturnine's name.
Then why should he despair that knows to court it with words, fair looks, and liberality? What, have not I full often struck a doe and borne her cleanly by the keeper's nose?
Why then, it seems some certain snatch or so would serve your turns.
Aye, so the turn were, sir.
Mother, thou hast hit it.
Would you have hit it too? Then should not we be tired with this ado? Why, hark you, and are you such fools to square for this? Would it offend you then that both should speed?
Faith, not me.
Nor me, so I were one.
For shame, be friends and join for that you jar. 'Tis policy and stratagem must do that you affect. And so must you resolve that what you cannot as you would achieve, you must perforce accomplish as you may. Take this of me. Lucrece was not more chaste than this Lavinia, Bassianus' love. A speedier course than lingering languishment must we pursue, and I have found the path. My sons, a solemn hunting is in hand. There will the lovely Roman ladies troop. The forest walks are wide and spacious, and many unfrequented plots there are, fitted by kind for rape and villainy. Single you thither then this dainty doe, and strike her home by force, if not by words. This way, or not at all, stand you in hope. The emperor's court is like the house of fame, the palace full of tongues, of eyes, of ears. The woods are ruthless, dreadful, deaf, and dull. There speak and strike, brave boys, and take your turns. There serve your lust, shadow from heaven's eye, and revel in Lavinia's treasury.
Thy counsel, lady, smells of no cowardice.
They exit. Scene 2. Enter Tysia Andronica and her three sons, and Marcus, making a noise with hounds and horns.
The hunt is up! The moon is bright and grand, the fields are fragrant, and the woods are green. Uncouple here, and let us make a bay, and wake the emperor and his lovely bride, and rouse the prince, and bring a hunter's peal, that all the court may echo with the noise. Sons, let it be your charge, as it is ours, to attend the emperor's person carefully. I have been troubled in my sleep this night, but dawning day new comfort hath inspired.
Hear a cry of hounds and wind horns in appeal. Then enter Saturninus, Tamara, Bassianus, Lavinia, Chiron, Demetrius, and their attendants.
Many good morrows to your majesty, madam, to you as many, and as good, I promise of your grace a hunter's peal.
And you have rung it lustily, my lords, somewhat too early for new married ladies.
Lavinia, how say you?
I say no. I have been broad awake 2 hours and more.
Come on, then. Horse and chariots let us have, and to our sport. Madam, now you shall see our Roman hunting.
Chiron, we will hunt not, we, with horse nor hound, but hope to pluck a dainty doe to the ground.
They exit. Scene 3. Enter Tamara alone, carrying a bag of gold.
He that had wit would think that I had none to bury so much gold under a tree and never after to inherit it. Let him that thinks of me so abjectly know that this gold must coin a stratagem, which, cunningly effected, will beget a very excellent piece of villainy.
She hides the bag.
And so repose, sweet gold, for their unrest that have their alms out of the empress's chest. Vengeance is in my heart, death in my hand, blood and revenge are hammering in my head. This is the day of doom for Bassianus. His Philomel must lose her tongue today. My sons make pillage of her chastity and wash their hands in Bassianus's blood.
She takes out a paper.
Here comes a parcel of my hopeful booty, which dreads not yet their lives' destruction.
She conceals the paper. Enter Bassianus and Lavinia.
Who have we here? Rome's royal empress, unfurnished of her well-beseeming troop? Or is it Diane, habited like her, who hath abandoned her holy robes to see the general hunting in the forest?
Saucy controller of my private steps, had I the power that some say Diane had, thy temple should be planted presently with horns, as was Actian's, and the hound should drive upon thy new transformed limbs, unmannerly intruder as thou art.
Under your patience, gentle empress, 'tis thought you have a goodly gift in horning. Jove shield your husband from his hounds today. 'Tis pity they should take him for a stag.
Why are you sequestered from your train, dismounted from your snow-white goodly steed, and wandered hither to an obscure plot, if foul desire had not conducted you?
And, being intercepted in your sport, great reason that my noble lord be rated for sauciness. I pray you, let us hence. This bounty fits the purpose passing well.
The king, my brother, shall have notice of this.
Aye, for these slips have made him noted long. Good king, to be so mightily abused.
Why, I have patience to endure all this.
Enter Chiron and Demetrius.
How now, dear sovereign and our gracious mother? Why doth your highness look so pale and wan?
Have I not reason, think you, to look pale? These two have ticed me hither to this place. A barren, detested vale, you see it is. Here never shines the sun. Here nothing breathes unless the nightly owl or fatal raven. And when they showed me this abhorrent pit, they told me, here at dead time of the night, 1,000 fiends, 1,000 hissing snakes would make such fearful and confusing cries as any mortal body hearing it should straight fall mad, or else die suddenly. No sooner had they told me this hellish tale, but straight they told me they would bind me here into the body of a dismal ewe, and leave me to this miserable death. And then they called me foul adulteress, lascivious goth, and all the bitterest terms that ever ear did hear to such effect. And had you not, by wondrous fortune, come this vengeance on me, had they executed? Revenge it as you love your mother's life, for be you not henceforth called my children.
Chiron and Demetrius draw their weapons.
This is a witness that I am thy son.
And this, for me, struck home to show my strength.
They stab Bassianus.
Aye, come, Semiramis, nay, barbarous Tamara, but thy own.
Give me the poniard. You shall know my boys. Your mother's hand shall right your mother's wrong.
First thrash the corn, then after burn the straw. This minion stood upon her chastity, upon her neutral vow, her loyalty, and with that painted hope braves your mightiness. And shall she carry this unto her grave?
And if she do, I would I were a eunuch, drag hence her husband to some secret hole, and make his dead trunk pillow to our lust.
But when you have the honey we desire, let not this wasp outlive us both to sting.
I warrant you, madam, we will make that sure. Come, mistress, now perforce we will enjoy that nice preserved honesty of yours.
O Tamora, thou bearest a woman's face!
I will not hear her speak. Away with her.
Sweet lords, entreat her hear me but a word.
Listen, fair madam, let it be your glory to see her tears, but be your heart to them as unrelenting flint to drops of rain.
When did the tiger's young ones teach the dam? Oh, do not learn her wrath, she taught it thee. The milk thou suck'st from her did turn to marble, even at thy teeth thou hadst thy tyranny. Yet every mother breeds not sons alike. Do thou entreat her show a woman's pity.
What, wouldst thou have me prove myself a bastard?
'Tis true, the raven doth not catch a lark, yet have I heard, oh, could I find it now, the lion moved with pity did endure to have his princely paws pared all away. Some say that ravens foster forlorn children, though whilst their own birds famish in their nests. Oh, be to me, though thy hard heart say no, nothing so kind, but something pitiful.
I know not what it means. Away with her.
Oh, let me teach thee, for my mother's sake, that gave thee life when well she might have slain me. Be not obdurate, open thy deaf ears.
Hadst thou in person there offended me? Even for her sake am I pitiless. Remember, boys, I poured forth tears in vain to save your brother from the sacrifice, but fierce Andronica would not relent. Therefore, away with her and use her as you will. The worse to her, the better loved of me.
Oh, Tamar, be called a gentle queen, and with thy own hands kill me in this place. For 'tis not life that I have begged so long. Poor I was slain when Bassianus died.
What beggest thou then? Fond woman, let me go.
'Tis present death I beg, and one thing more that womanhood denies my tongue to tell. Oh, keep me from their worse than killing lust, and tumble me into some loathsome pit where never man's eye may behold my body. Do this and be a charitable murderer.
So should I rob my sweet sons of their fee? No. Let them satisfy their lust on thee.
Away, for thou hast stayed us here too long.
No grace? No womanhood? Ah, beastly creature, the blotted enemy to our general name. Confusion fall.
Nay, then, I'll stop your mouth. Bring thou her husband. This is the hole where we shall hide him.
They put Bassianus' body in the pit and exit, carrying off Lavinia.
Farewell, my sons. See that you make her sure. Ne'er let my heart know merry cheer indeed, till all the Andronicide be made away. Now will I hence to seek the emperor, and let my sleeveful sons this trulled flower.
She exits. Enter two of Titius' sons, Quintius and Martius.
Come on, brother, the better foot before. Straight will we go to the loathsome pit where the queen espied the panther sleeping. My sight is very dull, whate'er it goes.
And mine, I promise you. Were it not for shame, well could I leave our sport to sleep away.
He falls into the pit.
What? Art thou fallen? What subtle hole is this?
A very fatal place, it seems to me.
Speak, brother. Hast thou hurt thee with the fall?
Oh, brother, with the dismalest object hurt that ever I with sight made heart lament. Lord Bassianus lies betrayed in blood. All on a heap like to a slaughtered lamb in this detested, dark, blood-drinking pit.
Reach me thy hand, that I may help thee out, or, wanting strength to do thee so much good, I may be plucked into the swallowing womb of this deep pit, poor Bassianus' grave.
He pulls Martius' hand.
I have no strength to pluck thee to the brink.
Nor I no strength to climb without thy help.
Thy hand once more. I will not loose again till thou art here aloft or I below. Thou canst not come to me. I come to thee.
He falls in. Enter the Emperor Saturninus with attendants.
Along with me. I'll see what hole is here and what he is that now is leapt into it. Say, who art thou that lately didst descend into this gaping hollow of the earth?
The unhappy sons of old Andronica, brought hither in a most unlucky hour to find thy brother Bassianus dead.
My brother dead? I know thou dost but jest. He and his lady both are at the lodge upon the north side of this pleasant chase. 'Tis not an hour since I left them there.
We know not where you left them all alive, but now, alas, here have we found him dead.
Enter Tamora, Tysha, Andronica, and Lucius.
Where's my lord the king?
Here, Tamora, though grieved with killing grief.
Where is thy brother Bassianus?
Now to the bottom dost thou search my wound. Poor Bassianus, here lies murdered.
Then all too late I find this fatal writ, the complot of this timeless tragedy, and wonder greatly that man's face can fold in pleasing smiles such murderous tyranny.
She giveth Saturnine a letter.
And if we miss to meet him handsomely, sweet huntsman, Bassianus, 'tis we mean, do thou so much as dig the grave for him. Thou knowest our meaning. Look for thy reward among the nettles at the elder tree which overshades the mouth of that same pit where we decreed to bury Bassianus. Do this, and purchase us thy lasting friends. O Tamora, was ever heard the like? This is the pit, and this the elder tree. Look, sirs, if we can find the huntsman out that should have murdered Bassianus here.
My gracious lord, here's the bag of gold.
Two of thy whelps, fell curs of bloody kind, have here bereft my brother of his life. Sirs, drag them from the pit unto the prison. There, let them bide until we have devised some never heard of torturing pain for them.
What, are they in this pit? A wondrous thing! How easily murder is discovered.
Attendants pull Quintus Martius and the body of Bassianus from the pit.
High Emperor, upon my feeble knee, I beg this boon with tears not lightly shed, that this fell fault of my accursed sons, accursed if the fault be proved in them.
If it be proved, you see, it is apparent. Who found this letter? Tamora, was it you?
Andronica herself did take it up.
I did, my lord. Yet let me be their bail, for by my father's reverend tomb, I vow they shall be ready at your highness's will to answer their suspicion with their lives.
Thou shalt not bail them. See thou follow me. Some bring the murdered body, some the murderers. Let them not speak a word. The guilt is plain. For by my soul, were there worse end than death, that end upon them should be executed.
Andronica, I will entreat the king. Fear not thy sons, they shall do well enough.
Come, Lucius, come. Stay not to talk with them. They exit with attendants leading Martius and Quintus and bearing the body of Bassianus. Scene 4. Enter Lavinia, her hands cut off and her tongue cut out and ravished. Demetrius and Chiron are heard off stage.
So now go tell, and if that tongue can speak who 'twas that cut thy tongue and ravished thee.
Write down thy mind, bewray thy meaning so, if thy stumps will let thee play the scribe.
See how with signs and tokens she can scrawl.
Go home, call for sweet water, wash thy hands.
She hath no tongue to call nor hands to wash, and so let's leave her here to her silent walks.
And for my cause, I should go hang myself.
If thou hadst hands to help thee knit the cord.
Enter Marcus from hunting.
Who is this? My niece, that flies away so fast? Cousin, a word. Where is your husband? Speak, gentle niece. What stern, ungentle hands hath lopped and hewed and made thy body bare of her two branches, those sweet ornaments whose circling shadows kings have sought to sleep in, and might not gain so great happiness as half thy love. Why dost not speak to me? Alas, crimson river of warm blood, like to a bubbling fountain stirred with wind, doth rise and fall between thy frozen lips, coming and going by honey breath. But sure, some tears hath deflowered thee, and lest thou shouldst detect him, cut thy tongue. How now thou turnest away thy face for shame, and notwithstanding all this loss of blood, as from a conduit with three issuing spouts, yet do thy cheeks look red as Titan's face, blushing to be encountered with the cloud. Fair Philomela, why she but lost her tongue, and in a tedious sampler showed her mind. But, lovely niece, that mean is cut from thee. A crafter Tereus, cousin, hast thou met, and he hath cut those pretty fingers off that could have better sewed than Philomel. Come, let us go and make thy mother blind, for such a sight of life a mother's eye.
They exit. Act 3, Scene 1. Enter the tribunes as judges and senators, with Titius' two sons, Quintus and Marcius, bound, passing on the stage to the place of execution, and Titia going before, pleading.
Hear me, grave fathers! Noble tribunes, stay! Be careful to my condemned sons, whose souls are not corrupt as 'tis thought. For 22 sons I never wept, because they died in honor's lofty bed. For these tribunes, in the dust I write my heart's deep languor and my soul's sad tears, let my tears staunch the earth's dry appetite. My son's sweet blood will make it shame and blush. O earth, I will befriend thee more with rain than shall distill from these two ancient ruins, than youthful April shall with all his showers.
Enter Lucius with his weapon drawn.
O reverend tribunes, O gentle aged men, unbind my sons! Reverse the doom of death, and let me say that never wept before. My tears are now prevailing orators.
O noble mother, you lament in vain. The tribunes hear you not. No man is by, and you recount your sorrows to a stone.
Ah, Lucius, for thy brothers let me plead. Grave tribunes, once more I entreat of you.
My gracious lady, no tribune hears you speak.
Why, 'tis no matter, man. If they did hear, they would not mark me. If they did mark, they would not pity me. Yet plead I must, and bootless unto them. Therefore, I tell my sorrow to the stones, who, though they cannot answer my distress, yet in some sort they are better than the tribunes, for that they will not intercept my tale. A stone is soft as wax, tribunes more hard than stones. A stone is silent and offendeth not, and tribunes with their tongues doom men to death. But wherefore standest thou with thy weapon drawn?
To rescue my two brothers from their death, for which attempt the judges have pronounced my everlasting doom of banishment.
Oh, happy man, they have befriended thee. Why, foolish Lucius, dost thou not perceive that Rome is but a wilderness of tigers? Tigers must prey, and Rome affords no prey but me and mine. How happy art thou, then, that these devourers to thee banished? But who comes with our brother Marcus here?
Enter Marcus with Lavinia.
Titia, prepare thy aged eyes to weep, for if not so, thy noble heart to break. I bring consuming sorrow to thy aid.
Will it consume me? Let me see it then.
This was thy daughter.
Why, Marcus, so she is.
Ah, nay, this object kills me.
Faint-hearted boy, arise and look at her. Speak, Lavinia. What cursed hand hath made thee handless in thy mother's sight? My grief was at its height before thou camest, and now, like Nihilus, it disdaineth bounds. Give me a sword! I'll chop off my hands too, for they have fought for Rome and all in vain, and they have nursed this woe in feeding life. In bootless prayer have they been held up, and they have served me to effectless use. Now, all service I require of them is that one will help the other to cut. Tis well, Lavinia, that thou hast no hands, for hands due to Rome service, but that is vain.
Speak, gentle sister, who hath martyred thee?
Oh, that delightful engine of her thoughts that blabbed them with such pleasing eloquence is torn from forth that pretty hollow cage where, like a sweet melodious bird, sung sweet very lips, enchanting every ear.
Oh, say that thou for her who hath done this deed.
Oh, thus I found her straying in the park, seeking to hide herself as doth the deer that hath received some undercurrent wound.
It was my dear, and he that wounded her had hurt me more than had he killed me dead. For now I stand as one upon a rock, environed with a wilderness of sea, who marks the waxing tide grow wave by wave, expecting ever with some envious surge, will in his brinish bowels swallow her. This way, to death, my wretched sons are gone. Here stands my other son, a banished man, and here my brother weeping at my woes. But that which gives my soul the greatest spurn is dear, Lavinia, dearer than my soul. Had I but seen thy picture in this plight, it would have maddened me. What shall I do? Now I behold thy lively body so. Thou hast no hands to wipe away thy tears, nor tongue to tell me who hath martyred thee. Thy husband, he is dead, and for his death thy brothers are condemned, and dead by this. Look, Marcus! Asa, look at Lucius, look at her. When I could name her brothers, then fresh tears stood on her cheeks as doth the honeydew upon a gathered lily almost withered.
Perchance she weeps because I killed her husband. Perchance because she knows them innocent.
If they did kill thy husband, then be joyful, because the law hath taken revenge on them. No? No, they would not do so foul a deed. Witness the sorrow that their sister makes. What shall we do? Let us that have our tongues plot some device of further misery to make us wonder at in time to come.
Sweet mother, cease your tears, for at your grief, see how my wretched sister sobs and weeps.
Patience, dear niece. Good Tysha, dry thine eyes.
Marcus, Marcus. Brother, well, I wot, thy napkin cannot drink a tear of mine, for thou, poor man, hast drowned it with thine own.
My Lavinia, I will wipe thy cheeks.
Mark, Marcus, mark. I understand her signs. Had she a tongue to speak now, she would say that to her brother, which I said to thee, his napkin with his tears true all bewept, can do no service on her sorrowful cheeks. Oh, what a sympathy of woe is this, as far from help as limbo is from bliss.
Enter Tamora alone. Tysha Andronica, my lord the emperor sends thee this word, that if thou love thy sons, let Marcus, Lucius, or thyself, old Tysha, or any one of you, chop off your hand and send it to the king. He for the same will send thee hither both thy sons alive, and that shall be the ransom for their fault.
Oh, gracious emperor, oh, gentle queen, with all my heart I'll send the emperor my hand, good Tamora. Wilt thou help me chop it off?
Stay, mother, for that noble hand of thine that hath thrown down so many enemies shall not be sent. My hand will serve the term. My youth can better spare my blood than you, and therefore mine shall save my brother's life.
Which of your hands hath not defended Rome? Reared aloft the bloody battle axe, writing destruction on the enemy's castle. Oh, none of both for a high desert. My hand hath been but idle. Let it serve to ransom my two nephews from their end. Then have I kept it to a worthy end.
Nay, come, agree whose hand shall go along, for fear they die before their pardon come.
My hand shall go.
By heaven it shall not go.
Sirs, strive no more. Such withered herbs as these are meet for plucking up, and therefore mine.
Sweet mother, if I shall be thought thy son, let me redeem my brothers both from death.
For our father's sake, and mother's care, now let me show a brother's love to thee.
Agree between you. I will spare my hand.
Then I'll go fetch an axe.
And I will use the axe.
Lucius and Marcus exit. Come hither, Tamora. I will seat them both. Lend me thy hand, and I will give thee mine.
That be called deceit, I will be honest, and never whilst I live deceive men so. But I'll deceive you in another sort, and that you'll say ere half an hour pass.
She cuts off Tysha's hand. Enter Lucius and Marcus again. Now stay your strife. What shall be is dispatched. Good queen, give his majesty my hand. Tell him it was a hand. hand that warded him from a thousand dangers. Bid him bury it. More hath it merited, that let it have. As for my sons, say I account of them as jewels purchased at an easy price, and yet dear too, because I bought mine own.
I go, Andronica, and for thy hand look by and by to have thy sons with thee.
She exits.
Oh, here. I lift this one hand up to heaven and bow this evil ruin to the earth.
She kneels.
If any power pities wretched tears, to that I call
Lavinia kneels.
But wouldst thou kneel with me? Do then, dear heart, for heaven shall hear our prayers, or with our sighs we'll breathe the welkin dim and stain the sun with fog, as sometimes clouds when they do hug him in their melting bosom.
Oh, sister, speak with possibility, and do not bring me to these deep extremes.
Is not my sorrow deep, having no bottom? Then be my passions bottomless with them.
And yet let reason govern thy lament.
If there were reason for these miseries, then into limits I could bind my woes. When heaven doth weep, doth not the earth overflow? If the winds rage, doth not the sea wax mad, threatening the welkin with his big swollen face? And wilt thou have a reason for this coil? I am the sea. Hark how her sighs doth flow. She is the weeping welkin, I the earth. Then must my sea be moved with her sighs. Then must my earth, with her continual tears, become a deluge, overflowed and drowned. For why my bowels cannot hide her woes, but like a drunkard must I vomit them. Then give me leave, for losers will have leave to ease their stomachs with their biter's tongue.
Enter a messenger with the heads of Marcius and Quintius and a hand.
Worthy Andronica, ill art thou repaid for that good hand thou sent to the emperor. Here are the heads of thy two noble sons, and here's thy hand in scorn to thee sent back. Thy grief their sports, thy resolution mocked, that woe is me to think upon thy woes more than remembrance of my father's death.
He exits.
Now let hot Etna cool in Sicily, and be my heart ever burning to hell. These miseries are more than may be borne. To weep with them that weep, let ease some deal, that sorrow flooded at is double death.
Ay, that this sight should make so deep a wound, and yet detested life thus shrink thereat, that ever death should let life bear his name, where life hath no more interest but to breathe.
Lavinia kisses Tycha.
Alas, poor heart, that kiss is comfortless as frozen water to a starved snake.
When will this fearful slumber have an end?
Now farewell, Fletcher. Die, Andronica. Thou dost not slumber. See thy two sons' heads, thy warlike hand, thy mangled daughter here, thy other banished son of this dear sight struck pale and bloodless, and thy brother, I, even like a stony image, cold and numb. Now no more will I control thy griefs. Rip off thy silver hair, thy other hand, gnawing with thy teeth, and be this dismal sight the closing up of our most wretched eyes. Now is the time to storm. Why art thou still? Why dost thou laugh? If it's not this hour.
Tycha and Lavinia rise.
Why? I have not another tear to shed. Besides, this sorrow is an enemy. I would usurp upon my watery eyes and make them blind with tributary tears. In which way shall I find revenge's cave? For these two heads do seem to speak to me, and threatening I shall never come to bliss till all these mischiefs be returned again, even in their throats that have committed them. Come, let me see what task I have to do. You, heavy people, encircle me, about that I may turn me to each of you and swear unto my soul to right your wrongs. The vow is made. Come, brother, take a head, and in this hand the other will I bear. And Lavinia, thou shalt be employed in these arms. Bear thou my hand, sweet wench, between thy teeth. As for thee, boy, go, get from my sight, thou art an exile, and thou must not stay. Hie to the gods and raise an army there, and if you love me as I think you do, let's kiss and part, for we have much to do.
All but Lucius exit.
Farewell, Andromeda, my noble mother, the loathless woman that ever lived in Rome. If Lucius live, he will requite your wrongs and make proud Saturnine and his empress beg at the gates like Parthenon and his queen. Now will I go to the Goths and raise a power to be revenged on Rome and Saturnine.
Lucius exits. Scene 2, a banquet. Enter Titia Andronica, Marcus Lavinia, and the boy, young Lucius, with servants.
So. Now sit, and look you eat no more, then we'll preserve just so much strength in us as we'll revenge these bitter woes of ours. This poor right hand of mine is left to tyrannize upon my breast, who, when my heart all mad with misery beats in this hollow prison of my flesh, then thus I thump it down, wound it with sighing, girl, kill it with groans, or get some little knife between thy teeth, and just against thy heart make thou a hole, that all the tears that thy poor eyes let fall may run into that sink and soaking in, drown the lamenting fool in sea salt tears.
Fie, sister, fie. Teach her not thus to lay such violent hands upon her tender life.
How now? Has sorrow made thee dote already? Why, Marcus, no woman should be mad but I. What violent hands can she lay on her life? Wherefore dost thou urge the name of hands? Oh, handle not the theme to talk of hands, lest we remember still that we have none. Why, aye, how frantically I swear my tongue, as if we should forget we had no hands. If Marcus did not name the word of hands, come, let's fall to it, and gentle girl, eat this. Here is no drink. Hark, Marcus, what she says. I can interpret all her martyred signs. She says she drinks no other drink but tears, brewed up with her sorrow, matched upon her cheeks. Speechless complainer, I will learn thy thought, and thy dumb action will I be as perfect as begging hermits in their holy prayers. Thou shalt not sigh, nor hold thy stumps to heaven, nor wink, nor nod, nor kneel, nor make a sign. But I of these will rest in alphabet, and by still practice learn to know thy meaning.
Good grandmother, leave these bitter deep lament. Take my Aunt Mary with some pleasing tale.
Alas, the tender boy in passion moved, has leaped to see his grandmother's heaviness.
Peace, tender sapling. Thou art made of tears, and tears will quickly melt thy life away.
Marcus strikes the dish with a knife.
What dost thou strike out, Marcus, with thy knife?
That I have killed, my lady, a fly.
Out on thee, murderer! Thou killest my heart! Mine eyes are cloyed with view of tyranny. A deed of death done on the innocent becomes not Titia's brother. Get thee gone! I see thou art not for my company.
Alas, my lady, I have but killed a fly.
But how if that fly had father and mother? How would he hang his slender gilded wings and buzz lamenting doings in the air? Poor harmless fly, that with his pretty buzzing melody came here to make us merry, and thou hast killed him.
Pardon, lady. It was a black, ill-favored fly.
Oh, then pardon me for reprehending thee, for thou hast done a charitable deed. Give me thy knife. I will insult on him, flattering myself as if it were the queen. Come hither purposely to poison me.
She stabs the fly.
Ha! Yes. I think we are not brought so low, but that between us we can kill a fly that comes in the likeness of an evil queen.
Alas, poor woman, grief has so wrought on her that she takes false shadows for true substances.
Come, take away. Lavinia, go with me. To thy closet and read, we will. Sad stories chanted in the times of old. Come, boy, go with me. Thy sight is young, and thou shalt read when mine begins to dazzle.
They exit. It is intermission. Act 4, Scene 1. Enter Lucius' son and Lavinia running after him, and the boy flies from her with his books under his arm. Enter Titia and Marcus.
Oh, grandmother, help! My Aunt Lavinia falls.
my niece Lavinia by these sides.
Fear her not, Lucius. Somewhat doth she mean. See, Lucius, how much she makes of thee. So whither she would have thee go with her.
Canst thou not guess wherefore she plies thee thus?
My lord, I know not, nor can I guess. Only some fitful frenzy do possess her. For I have heard my grandmother say full often, extremity of grief would make men mad. And I have read that Hecuba of Troy ran mad with sorrow. But pardon me, sweet aunt. And madam, if my uncle Marcus go, I will most willingly attend your ladyship.
Lucius, I will.
How now, Lavinia? Marcus, what means this? Some book there is that she desires to see? Which is a girl of these? Open the boy. But thou art deeper bred and better skilled. Come and take choice of all my library. And be, and so beguile thy sorrows till the heavens reveal the damned contriver of this deed. Why lifts she up her arms to, in the sequence?
I think she means that there were more than one confederate in the fact. Aye, more there was, for else the heaven should ease them for revenge.
Lucius, what book is that she tosseth so?
Grandmother, 'tis Ovid's Metamorphoses. My mother gave it.
For love of her that's gone, perhaps. She pulled it from among the rest.
Soft. So busily she turns the leaves. Help her! What would she find? Lavinia, shall I read? This is the tragic tale of Philomel, and treats of Tyrus's treason and his rape. And rape, I fear, was the root of thy annoy.
See, sister, see. There's how she quotes the leaves.
Lavinia, wert thou thus surprised, sweet girl? Ravished and wronged as Philomel was, forced in the ruthless vast and gloomy woods. See, such a place was there when we did hunt. Oh, had we never, never hunted there. Patterned by that, the poet here describes by nature made for murderers and for rapes.
Oh, why should nature build so foul a den, unless the gods delight in tragedies?
Give sign, sweet girl, for here are none but friends. What Roman lord it was durst do the deed, or slunk not Saturnine, as Tarquin erst, that left the camp to sit in Lucretia's bed?
Sit down, sweet niece. Sister, sit down by me.
They sit.
My lord, look here. Look here, Lavinia.
He writes his name with his staff and guides it with feet and mouth.
This sandy plot is plain. Guide, if thou canst, this after me. I have written my name without the help of any hand at all. Curse be that heart that forced us this shift. Write thou, good niece, and here display at last what God will have discovered for revenge. Heaven guide thy care to print thy sorrows plain, that we may know the traitors and the truth.
She takes the staff in her mouth and guides it with her stumps and writes.
Do you read, my lady, what she hath writ?
Stubrum, Chiron, Demetrius.
What? What? The lustful sons of Tamora, performers of his heinous, bloody deed? My lady, kneel down with me. Lavinia, kneel. And kneel, sweet boy, the Roman Hector's hope.
They all kneel.
And swear with me that we will prosecute, by good advice, mortal revenge upon these traitorous Goths, and see their blood or die with this reproach.
They rise.
'Tis sure enough, and you knew how. But if you hunt these bare whelps, then beware. The dam will wake, and if she wind you once, she's with the lion deeply still in league and lulls him while she playeth on her back. And when he sleeps, will she do what she lists? You are a young huntsman, Marcus, let alone. And come, I will go get a leaf of grass, and with a gad of steel will write these words and lay it by. The angry northern wind will blow these sands like sibyl's leaves abroad. And where's our lesson then? Boy, what say you?
I say, my lady, that if I were a man, your mother's bedchamber should not be safe for these base bondmen to the yoke of Rome.
Aye, that's my boy. Thy father hath full oft in this ungrateful country done the like.
And uncle, so will I, if I live.
Come, go with me into mine armory, Lucius. Outfit thee, and with all my boy, shall carry from me to the Empress's sons presents that I intend to send them both. Come, come. Thou, if do, my message will that not send?
With my dagger in their bosoms, grandmother.
No, boy, not so. I'll teach thee another course. Lavinia, come. Marcus, look to my house. Lucius and I will go brave it at the court. Aye, marry, we will, sir, and we'll be waited on.
All but Marcus answered.
Oh, heavens, can you hear a good woman groan and not relent, or not compassion her? Marcus, tend her in her ecstasy, that hath more scars of sorrow in her heart than foeman's marks upon her battered shield, but yet so just that she will not revenge. Revenge the heavens for old Andronica.
He exits. Scene 2. Enter Chiron and Demetrius at one door, and at the other door young Lucius and another, with a bundle of weapons and verses writ upon them.
Demetrius, here's the son of Lucius. He hath some message to deliver us.
Nay, some mad message from his mad grandmother.
My lords, with all the humbleness I may, I greet your honors from Andronica, and pray the Roman gods confound you both.
Gramercy, lovely Lucius, what's the news?
You are both deciphered, that's the news, for villains marked with ring. May it please you, my grandmother, well thought, has sent by me the goodliest weapons of her armory to gratify your honorable youth, the hope of Rome, for so she bid me say, and so I do, and with her gifts present your lordships, that, whenever you have need, you may be armed and appointed well, and so I leave you both, like bloody villains.
He exits with attendants.
What's here? A scroll? And written round about? Let's see. Integer vites, filarisque curus, non egit mauri, loculus nec arcum.
Oh! 'Tis a verse in Horace! I know it well! I read it in the grammar long ago.
Aye, just. A verse in Horace. Right, you have it. Fusion of sound, Jess. The old woman hath found our guilt and sends us weapons round about with lines that wound, beyond our feeling to the quick. But were our witty empress well afoot, she would applaud Andronica's conceit, but let her rest and her run rest a while. Come, let us go and pray to all the gods for our beloved mother and her grief.
Pray to the devils. Gods have given us over.
Exit. Scene 3. Enter Titia, Marcus, his son Publius, young Lucius, and other gentlemen, with bows. And Titia bears the arrows with letters on the end of them.
Come, Marcus, come. Kinsman, then, this is the way. See, boy, let me see your archery. Look, you draw home, and tis there straight. Tear us astray, or reliquate. Marcus, we are but shrubs. No cedars we, but metal, Marcus, steel to the very back. Yet Rome with wrongs more than our backs can bear. And since there's no justice in earth nor hell, we will solicit heaven. And move the gods to send down justice for to wreck our wrongs. Come, to the skier. You're a good archer, Marcus.
He gives them the arrows.
You were as good to shoot against the wind. To it, boy. Marcus, loose when I bid. Of my word, I have written to the effect. There's not a god unsolicited.
Kinsman, should all your shafts into the court, we will afflict the emperor in his pride.
Now, masters, drop!
They shoot.
Why, there it goes. God give his lordship joy.
Enter a country fellow with a basket and two pigeons in it.
News! News from heaven! Marcus, the post is come! Zero, what tidings? Have you any letters? Shall I have justice? What says Jupiter?
Oh, alas, I know not Jupiter. I never drank with him in all my life.
What villain? Art thou not the carrier?
Aye, of my pigeons. Nothing else.
Why didst thou not come from heaven?
From heaven? My lady, I never came there. God forbid I should be so bold to press heaven in my young days. Why, I am going with my pigeons to the tribunal of Thebes to take a matter of a brawl betwixt my uncle and one of the imperial's men.
Well, wow. This is fit as can be to serve for your oration. Let him deliver the pigeons to the emperor from you.
Tell me! Can you deliver an oration to the emperor with a grace?
Nay, truly, sir, I could never say grace in all my life.
Sirrah, come hither. Make no more ado, but give your pigeons to the emperor. By me, thou shalt have justice at his hand. Hold, hold. Meanwhile, here's money for thy charges. Give me pen and ink. Sirrah, can you, with a grace, deliver up a supplication?
He writes.
Aye, sir.
Then, here's a supplication for you. And when you come to him, at the first approach, you must kneel, then kiss his foot, then deliver up your pigeons. And then, look for your reward. I'll be at hand, sir. See you do it bravely.
She hands him a paper.
I warn you, lady, let me alone.
Sarah, hast thou a knife? Come, let me see it.
She takes the knife and gives it to Marcus.
Here, Marcus, fold it in the oration, for thou hast made it like a humble suppliant. And when thou hast given it to the emperor, knock at my door and tell me what he says.
God be with you, sir. I will.
Marcus, let us go.
They exit. Scene 4. Enter Emperor Saturninus and Empress Tamara with her two sons, Chiron and Demetrius, with attendants. The emperor brings the arrows in his hand that Titius shot at him.
My lords, you know, as know the mightful gods, however these disturbers of our peace buzz in the people's ears. They're not half past, but even with law against the willful sons of old Andromeda. And what and if her sorrows have so overwhelmed her wits? Shall we be thus afflicted in her reeks, her fits, her frenzy, and her bitterness? And now she writes to heaven for her redress. Sweet scrolls to fly about the streets of Rome. What's this but libeling against the Senate and blazoning our injustice everywhere? A goodly humor, is it not, my lords? As who would say in Rome, no justice were. But if I live, her feigned ecstasy shall be no shelter to these outrages. But she and her shall know that justice lives in Saturninus' health, whom, if he sleep, he'll so awake as he in fury shall cut off the proudest conspirator that lives.
My gracious lord, my lovely Saturnine, lord of my life, commander of my thoughts, calm thee, and bear the faults of Titius' age, the effects of sorrow for her valiant sons, whose loss hath pierced her deep and scarred her heart. And rather comfort her distressed plight than prosecute the meanest or the best for these contempts.
Why, thus it shall become high-witted Tamara to gloat withal. But Titia, I have touched thee to the quick, thy lifeblood out, if now be wise. Then is all safe, the anchor in the port.
Enter, country fellow.
How now, good fellow, wouldst thou speak with us?
Yea, forsooth, and your mistress be imperial.
Empress I am, but yonder sits the emperor.
Tis he? God and Saint Stephen give you good evening. I have brought you a letter and a couple of pigeons.
Go take him away and hang him presently.
How much money must I have?
Come, sirrah, you must be hanged.
Hanged? By your lady, then I brought the neck to a fair end.
He exits with attendants.
Despiteful and intolerable wrongs! Shall I endure this monstrous villainy? I know from whence this device proceeds. May this be borne? As if her traitorous sons that died by law for murder of our brother have by my means been butchered wrongfully. Go, drag the villain hither by the hair. Nor age nor honor shall shake privilege. For this proud monk, I'll be thy slaughterman, sly, frantic wretch, that hopes to make me great and hope thyself should govern Rome and me.
Enter Aemilius.
What news with thee, Aemilius?
On my lords, Rome never had more cause. The Goths have gathered head, and with the power of high resolve and men bent to the spoil, they march hither amain under conduct of Lucius, son of old Andronica, who threats in course of this revenge to do as much as ever Coriolanus did.
Is warlike Lucius general of the Goths? These tidings knit me, and I hang the head as flowers with frost or grass bent down with storms. Aye, now begins our sorrows to approach. 'Tis he the common people love so much. Myself hath often heard them say, when I have walked like a private man, that Lucius' banishment was wrongfully, and they have wished that Lucius were their emperor.
Why should you fear? Is not your city strong?
Aye, but the citizens favor Lucius, and will revolt from me to succor him.
King, be thy thoughts imperious like thy name. Is the sun dim that gnats do fly in it? The eagle suffers little birds to sing and is not careful what they mean thereby, knowing that with the shadow of his wings he can at pleasure stint their melody. Even so mayest thou, the giddy men of Rome. Then cheer thy spirit, for know thou, emperor, I will enchant the old Andronica with words more sweet and yet more dangerous than baits to fish or honey stalks to sheep, when as the one is wounded with the bait, the other rotted with delicious feed.
But she will not entreat her son for us.
If Tamara entreat her, then she will. For I can smooth and fill her aged ears with golden promises that were her heart almost impregnable, her old ears deaf, yet should both ear and heart obey my tongue. Aemilius, go thou before to be our ambassador. Say that the emperor requests a parley of warlike Lucius, and appoint the meeting even at his mother's house, the old Andronico.
Aemilius, do this message honorably, and if he stand in hostage for his safety, bid him demand what pledge will please him best.
Your bidding shall I do effectually.
He exits. Now will I to that old Andronica, and temper her with all the art I have to pluck proud Lucius from the warlike Goths. And now, sweet emperor, be blithe again, and bury all thy fear in my devices.
Then go successively and plead to her.
They exit. Act 5, Scene 1. Enter Lucius with an army of Goths, with drums and soldiers.
Approved warriors and my faithful friends, I have received letters from great Rome which signifies what hate they bear their emperor and how desirous of our sight they are. Therefore, great lords, be as our titles witness, imperious and impatient of your wrongs, and wherein Rome hath done you any scathe, let him make treble satisfaction.
Brave slits sprung for great Andronica, whose name was once our terror, now our comfort. Whose high exploits and honorable deeds in grateful Rome requite with vow contempt. Embolden us. We'll follow where thou leadest. Like stinging bees in hot summer's day, led by their master to the flower fields, and be avenged on cursed Tamara.
Enter Aemilius.
Welcome, Aemilius. What's the news from Rome?
Lord Lucius, and you princes of the Goths, the Roman emperor greets you all by me, and, for he understands you are in arms, he craves a parley at your mother's house, willing you to demand your hostages, and they shall be immediately delivered.
What says our general? Aemilius, let the emperor give his pledges unto my mother and my uncle Marcus, and we will come. March away.
They exit. Scene 2. Enter Tamara with her two sons, disguised.
Thus, in this strange and sad habiliment, I will encounter with Andronica, and say I am revenge, sent from below to join with her and right her heinous wrongs. Knock at her study, where they say she keeps to ruminate strange plots of dire revenge. Tell her revenge has come to join with her and work confusion on her enemies.
They knock, and Tysha above opens her study door.
Who doth molest my contemplation? Is it your trick to make me open the door, that so my sad decrees may fly away and all my study be to no effect? You are deceived. For what I mean to do, see here, in bloody lines I have set down, and what is written shall be executed.
Tysha, I am come to talk with thee.
No, not a word. How can I talk, grace my talk, wanting a hand to give an action? Thou hast the odds of me, therefore no more.
If thou didst know me, thou wouldst talk with me.
I am not mad. I know thee well enough. Witness this wretched stump, witness these crimson lines, witness these trenches made by grief and care, witness the tiring day and heavy night, witness all sorrow that I know thee well for our proud empress, mighty Tamara. Is not thy coming for my other hand?
No, thou sad woman, I am not Tamara. She is thy enemy and I thy friend. I am revenge sent from the infernal kingdom to ease the gnawing vulture of thy mind by working wreakful vengeance on thy foes. Come down and welcome me to this world's light. Confer with me of murder and of death. There's not a hollow cave or lurking place, no vast obscurity or misty veil where bloody murder or detested rape can couch for fear, but I will find them out and in their ears tell them my dreadful. Revenge, which makes the foul offender quake.
Art thou revenge? And art thou sent to me to be a torment to mine enemies?
I am. Therefore, come down and welcome me.
To me some service ere I come to thee. Lo, by thy side, where rape and murder stands. Now give some assurances that thou art revenge. Stab them, or tear them on thy chariot wheels, and when thy cart is loaded with their heads, I will dismount. And by the wagon wheel, trot like a servile footman all day long. even from Hyperion's rising in the east until his very downfall in the sea. And day by day, I'll do this heavy task, so thou destroy Rakeline and murder there.
These are my ministers, and come with me.
Are they thy ministers? What are they called?
Rape and murder.
Therefore, call them so, because they take vengeance of such kind of men. Good Lord, how like the Empress's sons they are. And you the Empress. We worldly women have mad, miserable, mistaking eyes. Oh, sweet revenge. Now do I come to thee, and if one's arms embrace will content thee, I will embrace thee in it by and by.
She exits above.
This closing with her fits her lunacy. Whatever I forge to feed her brain-sick humors, do you uphold and maintain in your speeches for now. She firmly takes me for revenge. And being credulous in this mad thought, I'll make her send for Lucius, her son. And whilst I the banquet hold her sure, I'll find some cunning practice out of hand to scatter and disperse the giddy Goths, or at the least make them her enemies. See, here she comes, and I must ply my theme.
Enter Tysha.
Long have I been forlorn, and all for thee. Welcome, dread fury, to my woeful house, repine and murder. You are welcome too. How like the Empress and her sons you are! Well, welcome as you are, what shall we do?
What wouldst thou have us do, Andronica?
Show me a murder, I'll be willing.
Show me a villain that hath done a rape, and I am sent to be revenged on him.
Show me a thousand that have done thee wrong, and I will be revenged on them all.
Look round about the wicked streets of Rome, and when thou findest a man like thyself, good murder, stab him. He is a murderer. Go thou with him, and when it is thy hap to find another that is like thee, good Rakeline, stab him, he is a ravisher. Go thou with them, and in the emperor's court there is a queen. Well shalt thou know her by thine own proportion. For up and down she doth resemble thee. I pray thee, do on them some violent death. They have been violent to me and mine.
Well hast thou lessoned us, this shall we do. But would it please thee, good Andronica, to send for Lucius, thy thrice valiant son, who leads towards Rome a band of warlike Goths, and bid him come and banquet at thy house? When he is here, even at thy solemn feast, I will bring in the Empress and her sons, the Emperor himself, and all thy foes. And at thy mercy shall they stoop and kneel, and on them shalt thou ease thy angry heart. And what says Andronica to this device?
Marcus, my brother, 'tis sad Tysha calls.
Enter Marcus.
Go, gentle Marcus, to thy nephew Lucius. Thou shalt inquire him out among the Goths, bid him repair to me, and bring with him some of the chiefest princes of the Goths. Bid him encamp his soldiers where they are. Tell him the emperor and his empress too feast at my house, and he shall have feast with them. Do thou for my love, and so let him, as he regards his aged mother's life.
This will I do. As soon return again.
Marcus exits.
Now will I hence about thy business, and take my ministers along with me.
Nay, nay. Let rape and murder stay with me, or else I'll call my brother back again and cleave to no revenge but Lucius.
What say you, boys? Will you abide with her while I go tell my lord the emperor how I have governed our determined jest? Yield to her humor, smooth and speak her fair, and tarry with her till I turn again.
I knew them all, though they supposed me mad, and will overreach them in their own devices, a pair of cursed hellhounds and their dam.
Madam, depart at pleasure. Leave us here.
Farewell, Andronico. Revenge now goes to lay a complot to betray thy foes.
I know thou dost, and sweet revenge, farewell.
Tamara exits.
Tell us, old woman, how shall we be employed?
Tut! I have work enough for you to do. Publius, come hither.
Enter your will.
Know you these two?
The Empress's son, I take them. Chiron and Demetrius.
Fie, Publius, fie! Thou art too much deceived. The one is murder and rape is the other. And therefore bind them, gentle Publius. Oft have you heard me wish for such an hour, and now I find it. Therefore, Bind them sure and stop their mouths if they begin to cry.
Taisha exits.
Villains! Forbear! We are the Empress' sons.
And therefore do I what I am commanded.
Enter Taisha Andronica with a knife and Lavinia with a basin.
Come, Lavinia! Look, thy foes are bound. Sir, stop their mouths. Let them not speak to me, but let them hear what fearful words I utter. Oh, villainous Chiron and Demetrius, here stands the spring whom you have stained with mud. This goodly summer with your winter mixed, you killed her husband, and for that vile fault, two of her brothers were condemned to death. My hand was cut off and made a merry jest. Both her sweet hands, her tongue, and more dear than that, her hand or tongue, her spotless chastity. Inhuman traitors, you constrained and forced. What would you say if I should let you speak? Villains, for shame you could not beg for grace. Heart wretches, how I mean to martyr you. This one hand yet is left to cut your throats, whilst Lavinia between her stumps doth hold the basin that receives your guilty blood. You know your mother means to feast with me, and calls herself revenge, and thinks me mad? Heart villains, I will grind your bones to dust, and with your blood and it I'll make a paste, and of that paste a coffin I will rear. I will make two pasties of your shameful heads, and bid that strumpet, your unhallowed dam, light to the earth, swallow her own increase. This is the feast that I have bid her to, and this the banquet she shall surfeit on. For worse than Philomel, you used my daughter, and worse than Procne will I be revenged. And now, prepare their throats. Lavinia, come! Receive the blood.
She cuts their throats.
And when they are dead, let me grind their bones to a powder small, and with this hateful liquor I'll temper it, and in that case let their vile heads be baked. Come, come, be everyone officious to make this banquet, which I wish may prove more stern and bloody than the centaur's feast. So, now bring them in, for I'll play the cook, and see them ready against their mother come.
They exit carrying the dead bodies. Scene 3. Enter Lucius, Marcus, and the Goths.
Uncle Marcus, since 'tis my mother's mind that I repair to Rome, I am content.
Enter Emperor Saturninus and Empress Tamora, with Aemilius, tribunes, attendants, and others.
What? Hath the firmament more sons than one?
What boots it thee to call thyself a son?
Rome's emperor, the nephew, break the quarrel. These quarrels must be quietly debated. The feast is ready, which the careful Taisha hath ordained to an honorable end, for peace, for love, for league, and good to Rome. Please you therefore draw nigh and take your places.
Marcus, we will.
Trumpets sounding, enter Taisha like a cook, placing the dishes with young Lucius and others, and Lavinia with a veil over her face.
Welcome, my lords! Welcome, dread queen! Welcome, you warlike gods! Welcome, Lucius! Welcome all! Although the cheer be poor, 'twill fill your stomachs. Please you eat of it?
They begin to eat.
Why art thou thus attired, Andronica?
Because I would be sure to have you all well to entertain your highness and your empress.
We are beholden to you, good Andronica.
And if your highness knew my heart, you were. My lord emperor, resolve me this. Was it well done of rash Virginius to slay his daughter with his own right hand because she was enforced, stained, and deflowered?
It was.
Your reason, mighty lord?
Because the girl should not survive her shame, and by her presence still renew his sorrows.
A reason mighty, strong, and effectual. A pattern precedent and lively warrant for me, most wretched, to perform the like.
Unveils Lavinia.
Die! Die, Lavinia, with thy shame, with thee. And with thy shame, thy mother's sorrows die!
She kills Lavinia.
What hast thou done, unnatural and unkind?
Killed her, for whom my tears have made me blind. I am as woeful as Virginius was, and have a thousand times more cause than he to do this outrage, and it now is done.
What? Was she ravished? Tell who did the deed.
Please you eat it?
slain thine only daughter thus?
Not I.
For Chiron and Demetrius, they ravish her and cut away her tongue. And they, 'twas they that did all her wrong.
Go fetch them hither to us presently.
Why? They are fair, both baked in this pie, whereof their mother daintily hath fed, eating the flesh that she herself hath bred. 'Tis true. Witness my knife's sharp point.
She stabs the Empress.
Die, frantic wretch, for this accursed deed.
He kills Tycha.
Can the son's eye behold his mother bleed?
He kills Saturninus.
There's a means for me to bed for bloody bed.
A great tumult. Lucius Marcus and others go along to the upper stage.
My heart is not an act of flint nor steel, nor can I utter all our bitter grief, but floods and tears will drown my oratory. Here's Rome's young captain. Let him tell the tale. My eyes stand by and need to hear him speak.
Then, gracious auditory, be it known to you, myself unkindly banished. The gates shut on me and turned weeping out to beg relief among Rome's enemies, who drown their enmity in my true tears and up their arms to embrace me as a friend. Alas, you know I am no vaunter. I, my scars can witness, dumb although they are, that my report is just and full of truth.
Now is my turn to speak. Now judge what cause had Tycha to revenge these wrongs unspeakable, past patience, for more than any living man could bear. Now have you heard the truth? What say you, Roman? Have we done aught amiss? Show us wherein, and from the place where you behold us beating, the poor remainder of Andronici will, hand in hand, all headlong hurl ourselves, and on the ragged stones beat forth our souls, and make a mutual closure of our house. Speak, Romans, speak. And if you say we shall, lo, hand in hand, Lucius and I will fall.
Come, thou reverend man of Rome, and bring our emperor gently in thy hand. Lucius, our emperor, for well I know the common voice do cry, it shall be so.
Lucius, all hail, Rome's royal emperor.
Attendants exit. Lucius and Marcus come down from the upper stage.
Lucius, all hail, Rome's gracious governor.
Thanks, gentle Romans. May I govern so to heal Rome's harms and wipe away her woe. But gentle people, give me aim a while, for nature puts me to a heavy task. Stand all aloof, but uncle, draw you near, to shed obsequious tears upon this trunk.
He kisses Tycha.
Oh, take this warm kiss on thy pale, cold lips, these sorrowful drops upon thy blood-stained face, the last true duties of thy noble son.
Tear for tear, loving kiss for kiss, thy brother Marcus tenders on thy lips.
He kisses Tycha.
Oh, were the sum of these that I should pay countless and infinite, yet would I pay them.
Come hither, boy, come, and learn of us to melt in showers. Thy grandmother loved thee well. Many a time she danced thee on her knee, sung thee asleep, her loving breast thy pillow. Many a story hath she told to thee, and bid thee bear her pretty tales in mind, and talk of them when she was dead and gone.
Grandma, even with all my heart, would I were dead so you didn't live again.
He kisses Tycha.
Lord, I cannot speak to her for weeping. My tears will choke me if I open my mouth.
Some loving friends convey the emperor hence and give him burial in his father's grave. My mother and Lavinia shall forthwith be closed in our household's monument. And as for this ravenous tiger Tamara, no funeral rite, nor man in mourning we, no mournful bell shall ring her burial, but throw her forth to beasts and birds to prey. Her life was beastly and devoid of pity, and being dead, let birds on her take pity.
They exit, carrying the dead body.